بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This is your host Mutahir Sabri and welcome to ShareIslam.com. Today we have a very special guest, the founder and producer of Share Islam, Sheikh Yusuf Estes. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And our guest today will share with us a very special topic, and we'll let him tell you what the topic is today.
What I wanted to talk about, Mutahir, is the subject of the Quran, because I found so many new Muslims and people that are not Muslim yet, and even from the Muslim by name, that they're just not catching the beauty of this Quran, the Quran of Islam. And I thought that was a subject that we ought to jump on. What do you think?
I think that's a wonderful idea. Tell our audience, what exactly does Quran mean, the word Quran?
Well, of course, as you know, it's an Arabic word, and Arabic will not fit into English. It just won't fit. So you really need to have explanation behind all of the words. But the word Quran itself comes from a root, qara'a. And this word means recite, or the recitation. The recitation or speech, that which is the spoken word. That's what it means.
Can you tell us where the Quran actually came from?
Well, the source of the Quran is Allah Himself. This is the Quran of Islam, is meaning the speech of Allah. As in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, He's the one who's speaking, and it's His speech and it's His recitation. That's the source, is Allah Himself. And it's not like a book. You don't think of Quran like a book. We think of it as what's being spoken.
There are other books that make the claim of being the speech of God or from God. Can you tell us how the Quran is unique in that regard?
Well, first of all, the Quran does not deny other books and other prophets. In fact, it confirms them, and it's very beautiful in the way it does it. Because what the Quran says is that you have to believe in the Quran being sent to Muhammad, because it comes to Muhammad, by the way. And it's coming to him from Allah, as previous revelation did the same thing. And that Allah is the one who revealed all of the scriptures, which we call today the Old Testament, or the Torah, and the Psalms of David, the scriptures that come with all the prophets, like Abraham and so on, and then even the New Testament, or the Gospel of Jesus, and then finally the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran is unique in a number of things that we'll be talking about in the program, but I wanted to specifically say from the beginning that the Quran doesn't deny that the original Bible came from Allah. It confirms it, and we have to believe that to be Muslims.
Just how many versions of the Quran are there?
Versions?
Yes.
There's no versions of the Quran. There is the original Quran, and that's it. It is only the recitation if it's exactly as the way it was recited by Allah to the angel Gabriel, and then the angel Gabriel recited it to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it, I know that might, for some people, seem a little strange. They say, well, wait a minute. How does that work? Because they haven't heard of something like this before. But the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was in a cave. He was fasting, and he was praying, and the angel Gabriel came to him and ordered him to recite. Iqra, recite. And he said, but I'm not a reciter. And then the angel asked him again, Iqra, recite. And again, he didn't want to do it. And then he told him again, recite in the name of your Lord who created human beings, created them from a clot of blood, which clings and is shaped like an alak, or a leech-like clot of blood. It's interesting, by the way, because this is the exact way a human being starts inside of the womb of the mother, is by being this clot of blood which is hanging there, hanging and clinging, and attaches itself, forming a clot of blood shaped like a what? A leech.
Well, now you mentioned the name Gabriel. This name is also mentioned in other religious traditions or faith traditions. Can you tell us, is this the same Gabriel of the other religious faiths?
Actually, in Hebrew, his name is Jibril. And that's the same name that we call him by, of course, in Arabic. Jibril, and he's called Jibril in the Arabic in the Quran. And this is exactly the one who comes to Muhammad is none other than the same one who came in Revelations before. Now, he has a title. His title is Archangel and Ruh Qudus. Ruh means spirit, and Qudus means holy. So the Holy Spirit is the title given to Jibril. And this is mentioned in previous scriptures, and it's mentioned here as well.
Do we still have the original Quran today?
Well, the original Quran is the recitation itself. And yes, we have it. We have the original in that we have every person who knows it today only knows it according to the way they got it from their teachers, who got it from their teachers, who got it from their teachers, etc. All the way back 30-some generations to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now, here's how it comes. When somebody memorizes it from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, then they pass it to the next person or generation. Those students who learned it from him, then they make a note of his name. Then when they teach it to the next person, they will then include this person's name and that person's name, and then back to Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this list of the names of the people that was passed down to their generations is called an ijaza. And we would call it like a diploma today in college, you know, when people sign off, where did you learn this from? And like when you do a PhD and you do a thesis and so on, then these things are recorded as to who said what to who and so on. But it's very unique in that it's always perfectly and exactly the same. And no matter where you go on the earth, it's the same Quran, no matter who recites it.
Isn't this the same way that the Bible was preserved? I mean, it was passed down through generations of...
Originally. Originally, the Bible was in oral tradition, and that's well known. If you read, I'll give you some reference for this to read about it. There's a book called Who Wrote the Bible, and it's talking in particular about the Old Testament. It's written by Richard Elliot Friedman, and he's quoting from many, many scholars about this subject. And he explains, and you can begin to understand how they used to recite the Bible, the original, in their Hebrew or Eber language. They used to write it down and then bury what was written, the scrolls, the scriptures. They used to bury that and then dig it up every so many years. And they have like Jubilee, and then they would dig this up, and someone would hold it, and the others would recite, and they would confirm that they hadn't lost anything and so on. Now, that continued until the time of the Babylonian exile. What happened there when the Babylonians overthrew the Israelites and took them into captivity. It says in the Bible that they lost many things, including the Ark of the Covenant and its contents, which included the original scrolls, etc. It was Ezra, called Uzer in the Hebrew or the Aramaic language. Now, Uzer is the one who listened to the elders at his time while they were in exile in Babylon, and he heard them recite. Then he compiled the Bible back together from what he heard from them. But the problem was they didn't recite the same things, because over their years, without having anything to refer it to, they had some changes. Now, this is according to Dr. Friedman and what he said in his work.
It has been reported that the Prophet Muhammad could not read or write. How is it that he could come up with a book that now today is in written form and cherished by so many people throughout the world?
Well, you're right in this. What you said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was illiterate, but he was not ignorant. He was a very intelligent person. He had owned a business, he had been a trader, he had traveled around, and he had made business with a lot of people, and he was a sharp individual. At the same time, though, he didn't learn to read and write in any language, including his own, which is Arabic. But he understood a lot about language, and when he spoke, any of his regular speaking, which is well recorded, by the way, and documented, you hear as something said that Muhammad said so-and-so. If you're an Arab, you can tell whether or not that's true, because you heard enough of his sayings to know that how he would structure a sentence, for instance. So he did know about language. But he could never have come up with this Quran, because there are many things about it that we haven't even talked about yet that make it too unique for anybody at his time to have come up with it. But how it comes to him, as I already said, it comes from the angel Gabriel, and then he memorized this, but he never wrote it down. He himself never wrote anything down because he didn't know how to read and write. However, you might like to know this. Some of his companions did write it down, and they used to write it on the bones of animals. They used to write it on papyrus. They wrote it on animal skins and so on. And these were preserved and kept over the many years.
How can then we be sure that we have the original Quran today?
Well, one of the things that I would invite anybody to consider is that the Quran itself offers that Allah will preserve it until the last day. Allah is saying in the Quran, He's going to preserve the Quran. You don't have to be concerned. He's going to take care of it. He says in the Quran, He says it's His speech. And He says that He's preserving it. Now, the argument would be that, well, this is circular logic. You're taking from the book that's talking about the book. And that's true. Except that the fact is it still exists today as it existed then. And it's the only book on earth that has remained as is and has so many people reciting it, never had any changes, and it has such uniqueness about it that there is no other book like it.
If you say that the Bible was also from God, would He not preserve or protect that book also?
Well, as a matter of fact, you know, again, it is Allah who did protect the Bible. He protected it at the time of Bani Israel, the sons of Israel. He protected the work that came with Jesus to a point. But then, as with all things, Allah has His will, and He allows things to happen according to what He wants. People have made changes, and if anybody really thinks about it, the Bible today in English obviously is not God's actual speech to Moses. He didn't speak English. There was no English language before the year 1066 AD, because that's when the Normans invaded the Saxons. That's when it all started. But to go back to the older manuscripts of the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, you cannot find one unique, this is it, we can always say this is the full and complete Bible like that. No, you can't. But what we can find are over 5,500 different manuscripts that are very, very similar in many ways. So we know the Bible it essentially said this or essentially said that, and there can't be any doubt about it. What's unique is that the Quran comes along and clarifies many of the things that maybe you couldn't figure out about the Bible. You could go back and look. And then when you stop and think about it, if there's a contradiction between the two of them, which one do you think would be wrong? Because the Quran has one version only and is exactly the same today as it was then. And it doesn't argue with itself. Then some of the manuscripts of the Bible argue with other manuscripts of the Bible. One says one number, another one says a different number. Another one says creation came about in one certain way. Then another one said, no, it's like this. In some versions, you've got Jesus as Son of God. Then you've got also manuscripts telling you that God can't be a son. And He doesn't have any sons. And He's not a man, and so on and so. So in order to really understand it, it's highly recommended, you know, even for Christians, to look into the Quran. And if you can learn the Arabic language, that's a bonus, because it'll be a lot easier for you.
Well, on that note, we'd like to know, is it required for every Muslim to read the book in Arabic, to read the Quran in Arabic, or to memorize the Quran?
If a person has the ability, I think they should take that time to do it. But it's not, if you want to say, is this a requirement, you have to do it. No, it's not. You don't have to do it. But it's one of those things where you'd be really smart to do it. You don't have to drive a car in the United States. You don't have to. But you're smart to learn. There are a lot of people that don't drive cars. And they ride along with others, and they're pretty much at the mercy of the other driver, where he wants to go, what he wants to do. But for the most part, I recommend to anybody, if you're physically able to, mentally able to learn to drive a car is a smart thing. And I'm going to say the same thing to Muslims. You're smart to learn the Quran in the Arabic language, because that's the language it came in. And by the way, if you'd like to make a comparison of Arabic to English, we have a website. It's called ArabicInEnglish.com. So you can go there, you can begin to learn Arabic, the fundamental stages of Arabic, the basics to get into it. And I'm going to be speaking English while I'm teaching you this. It's on the website, ArabicInEnglish.com. But I want to caution you that when you get done, you still haven't really learned Arabic yet. And the Arabic language is so rich and so powerful that the comparison to the English is like you want to take a gallon of water and pour it into an 8-ounce cup. It's not going to go. Make sense?
Absolutely. Can you tell us in our audience, what are some of the proofs that verify the things that you've identified about the Quran and its uniqueness?
Actually, there's a lot about it. And I don't want to take the whole program just talking about this, but let me give you some of the things. For instance, the Quran claims it won't be changed. It hasn't been changed. The Quran claims within itself that it'll be preserved, and it is still here just as it was. The Quran tells us if you're in doubt about it, bring a book like it. Nobody's been able to do that. It also asks you to bring 10 chapters like it. Nobody could do that. Then finally it says bring one chapter. By the way, do you know what the smallest chapter of the Quran is?
Surah Al-Kawthar.
Right. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna ataynaka al-kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Inna shani'aka huwal abtar. Look how short is this. It's tiny. It's the smallest surah in the Quran. Yet, for meaning and depth and understanding, you will never find anybody can match it in the Arabic language. Plus, consider this. It's one of the most recited of the Quran. Even little children know it. So if somebody wants to come with a book like it, let them go find 1.5 billion children who would like to memorize it. And they won't. And keeping this in mind, 88% of all the Muslims today are not Arab. And Arabic is not their language. 88% of 1.5 billion people are memorizing the Quran. Think about this. Out of all of the Muslims, every single Muslim has memorized some of the Quran in the Arabic language. In the original language as it came. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahirrabbilalameen. Arrahmanirrahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Now I'm going to stop. What's coming up next?
إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ
And then?
إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ
صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ
غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ
وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ Now, how could it be that somebody, by the way, you're from South Carolina, but originally by way of Washington, D.C. and Connecticut, yeah?
That's cool.
And at one time, you were a candidate for priesthood. You were, yes, admit it.
You're telling all my secrets now.
Yeah, it's true. And you were also an altar boy. Yeah. So, you were Catholic, American. I was Protestant. And by the way, I used to be a music minister. I used to be the one putting the music out to the, set it to the, whatever was going to be this, speech for the day, whatever the sermon was going to be, to make sure the music fit in along with that. I did some preaching of my own on the from the we call minbar, they call it the podium up there, you know. So we both are familiar with the religion from the Christian point of view. And yet, how many times did you ever try to memorize the whole Bible in the original language?
I don't think I tried once.
Me neither. And I never met anybody that was interested in trying to memorize the Bible in original language. Did you?
No.
I mean, to be honest, I never have met anybody that said, I would like to memorize the whole Bible in Hebrew or in Aramaic or something like that. I never heard anybody say that. But every single Muslim that I met, all of them want to memorize the Quran in the Arabic language. So this is different. This is totally unique. Now, you ask about some of the proofs. I'm going to mention something to you. There are prophecies in the Quran that came true. Prophecies in the Quran that came true. Now, you could say, well, what the Bible did too. Well, that's right, because we believe that the Bible also came from God. That people that played with it, they didn't change everything. In fact, they probably didn't change very much at all, just a few things. And then translations came along later, and maybe that's where the misunderstandings come. But for sure, prophecies is one of the miracles of the Quran. Another one is the scientific miracles that we find in the Quran. We have in the Quran where it talks about the two seas that come together, but they never mix. They have two different temperatures, two different salinities. They have two different forms of animal life and plant life in there. And they don't mix. That's in Surah Al-Rahman. Then we have also in Juz Amin, when it says Amin Yatasa'alun, it's talking there, it'll be telling them that the mountains, that Allah put mountains on the earth, and they have like tent stakes that go down deep into the ground, holding the crust of the earth together. And what's amazing about that? It's exactly what they just discovered in the last 100 years or so, that that is exactly how those mountains go down for miles and miles and miles, and they're shaped just like tent pegs. Hydrology, water cycle, mentioned in Quran 1,400 years ago. In the West, that wasn't discovered until only 500 years ago with William Harvey. And then meteorology, the weather, how lightning is formed. That's mentioned, how the movement of the ions within the clouds caused the lightning. Embryology, the formation of a baby. We mentioned about the alaqa. That's in there, all the stages in the trimesters. Even space travel is even referred to in the Quran. And I don't want to go into it too deep, but I would like to mention that on our website, we have a place you can go, and you can enjoy this so much, and you can find these scientific miracles yourself, and then listen to this. We've got scholars and scientists who have heard about this, they've studied this, and learned about the Arabic language, and guess what happened? They became Muslims. And they confirmed that, yes, the Quran had to be from God or some source like this. Because, look at this, nobody 1,400 years ago could have made these statements. This we got from Dr. Keith Moore. This we got from Dr. Maurice Bukai. And also, the list goes on. These are video clips you can watch. And one of them, are you ready? He accepted Islam on camera. And you can watch it on our website. Now, the website we got is brand new, and that's why we're doing this promotion right now. I want people to come see the website. It's called AllahsQuran.com. AllahsQuran.com.
Thank you very much. In closing, if you could summarize the essential message of the Quran in a few brief words, would you please share that with the audience?
And there's another miracle of the Quran. I forgot to mention this. Did you know that when you start in page 1 and you go all the way to the back of the Quran, page after page after page, you're going to find Allah mentioned on every page? Try it. Go through and try to find any place in Quran where Allah is not mentioning something about Himself or one of His names. And you will be surprised over and over. And He's constantly saying the same message page after page after page. He wants the people to worship Him and not worship what He created. So in a sentence, I guess I would say the message of the Quran is, worship the Creator and not His creations.
Thank you very, very much, Sheikh Youssef. Thank you very much, audience, for being with us today. On behalf of Share Islam, this is your host, Mutahir Sabri, and we'd like to thank Sheikh Youssef Estes, the founder and director of ShareIslam.com, for being with us today. Join us again next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa yakum lillah.